Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down. Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm singing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Hey, welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and as always, I promise you another wonderful show. We're going to step away from the usual high school and middle school conversation into something that may be a little bit more, that carries just equal weight, should I say. I would say it carries as equal weight as looking at the high school perspective and the middle school's perspective. Because once our children reach that level of playing at the middle school, go on to play at the high school, move on to play at the collegiate level, then what's next? Many of them, as we see it, look forward to playing at the next highest level, that next highest level being the professional level. And when they go out there and start playing at the professional level, how are they prepared? Well, we all know that there's some things that should take place at the college level that really doesn't happen, as far as understanding financial responsibilities and a little bit more in depth as it pertains to them as professional athletes. Understanding, some of the other things, marketing issues and some of the other things that they should have exposure to, you know, with those that are going on to play at the professional level. Although we know that a very small percentage goes on to play at the NBA and the NFL level. But what about at other professions, overseas, football leagues in Canada, CFL, things of that nature? So let's not set that out, but let's look at the overall picture. They're missing quite a few valuable pieces that I think if they had the right education, if they had the right folks in their corner, and if they had our colleges and universities truly looking out for them or looking in their best interest, would they be more successful at their endeavors or at fulfilling and living out their dreams? So we're going to touch on an area that will help guide them in a good direction, a solid direction, or a well-formed direction. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about a piece that Bill Roden wrote, and it was a very valuable piece, and we touched on that a little bit, and I told you that I was going to have someone on so that we can dig a little bit more into that. And I read you some information off of a blog that attorney Everett Glenn, had stated some information from there. So, you know, tonight we want to dig a little bit more into that and just talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of selecting an agent, But, you know, folks, as always, I can't start the show without first giving some props to my man, Mr. Keith Wright, who put together this little piece for us. I call it the college experience. You may want to call it whatever you want to call it. But if you listen to the words and have those same words to pass on to your children, I'm quite sure that they will get more out of it than just playing a game of sports. Check out this little piece here, The College Experience, Keith Wright.
Student
of the game. Had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the plumber, out the pen. But I'm hate then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
I hope you had the time to listen to those words. And my man Keith said, he says it each and every time, he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. And I think those are words that we should share with our children to ensure that they fully understand it's okay to be cool. And it's okay to be an athlete at the same time, because those students, and I've said this on the show once before, those students are at a level of proficiency and effectiveness and efficiency that no other student in that institution has taken on. What do I mean by that? Professional athletes, or excuse me, college athletes, are not only doing their best in the classroom, but they're also going that extra mile and doing their best on the court or on the field. But enough of that, enough of that. We're going to go to our guest today, Mr. Attorney Everett Glenn, and we're going to bring him on and make sure that he shares some information with us this evening that we have all been waiting for. For those of you that's calling in from social media, please do not try to call in through that site itself. Please take the time to dial our call-in number, 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. We'd love to hear from you this evening. Let's see if our guest is out there. Everett, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am. How you guys doing?
Oh, we doing great, brother. We doing great. Always, always good to hear from you.
Good, good, good. Well, you had asked me. Actually, I didn't know that you guys had talked about Bill Roden's piece before, and that's really good that you did. He wrote a piece for the New York Times recently where he talked about there being an initiative that would require that black athletes interview, let's consider. That's the key word, consider. Black representation. He wrote that article after coming back from the Super Bowl, where we were at together, actually. And John Wooten, we were at an event John puts on, the Fitzpatrick Alliance, and then we were at an event that we put on for John, the John Wooten Leadership Awards. And the Fitzpatrick Alliance is actually the organization behind the Rooney Rule in football that requires that you interview minority candidates for coaching and front office positions. And it's because of that rule that you have the few black coaches that you do have, head coaches, player personnel directors, general managers in the National Football League. And so the idea was, the most profound thing in the article that Rode wrote was the same thought I had, which was the league is 70% black, so why would you need an initiative to persuade black athletes to consider black professionals? Again, the key word, consider. The Webster's definition, I don't know, of consider would mean probably to talk to and learn more about. It doesn't say, because if you don't talk to or learn more about whoever it is you would be considering, then how do you really make the decision? Well, So that and part of the reason we don't even consider black representation is a large part due to the media and the whole. I mean, you know, we've heard the white man's Isis Kohler syndrome, but that's actually perpetuated in the media. Everything about the media, not just the NBA or sports, but everything about the media perpetuates that myth. And so sports is no exception. And so, you know, you take, you know, teenagers basically with not a whole lot of experience, and you want them to make a decision different than grown folk do. That's not going out, because grown folk are making decisions on the basis of the same stuff that these athletes are. Okay, so it's crazy. So the only reason they won't even consider, and again, it's not even just sports. I mean, you won't even consider a black doctor or a black plumber or a black electrician. It doesn't make a difference what we're talking about. We have a problem considering our own people. And other people, they limit their selection, not just their consideration. So if they limit their selection to people that look like them, that means while they might consider other people, they pick it from above. Like Jews have a reputation of working with other Jews. That's what I've read. Okay. And the same with Asians. I've read and I've heard that, where Asians prefer to work with Asians. And we don't even consider working with our own. So that's profound. But now he goes on to give some reasons why we don't consider, and he talks about quality, trust, familiarity, and then this white man's Isis Kohler syndrome. But he really doesn't talk much about quality and trust and familiarity. He touches on quality a little bit when Bill Duffy, who's a friend and a well-established agent, basketball agent, brother out of Northern California, Yao Ming and Steve Nash, I don't know. He's got a bunch of guys. I know those are two guys that I know he had. He's had them for years. you know, he talked about the fact that, you know, he's considered like part of the in crowd. You know, there's a handful of agents who get all the top players. But otherwise, he talked about most of these stereotypes. And what he didn't talk about, which is what I wrote about in the piece I wrote for Huffington Post, was the failure to speak to the actual power and influence, or the lack of power and influence that agents actually have. Stated a different way, the agent gets his or her power through the player. It's not the reverse, where the player is empowered because he go get somebody, so he go get Aaron Tellem. If he's a second-round draft pick and he goes on, tell him, he's going to still be a second-round draft pick. In fact, on, tell him, may not want to talk to him because he's going to be a second-round draft pick, and he limits his conversation to generally to folks who are going to be first-round draft picks. And that's the real myth of the whole deal, is the players, when you talked about education, the first part of education is self awareness and understanding who you are. It's called humility. Humility is like knowing who you are, what you can do. It's not, you know, we, in the black community, a lot of times being humble is considered being weak. But, you know, as far as I know, it's, again, humble and humility is just knowing who you are and what you can do and being honest about that. But anyhow, these guys, they think that the agent has the power, and again, it's all into the player. That's why when they recruit players, agents recruit players, their number one resource is information on these players in terms of who are the top players. And if you're not in the list of the top players, then you don't even have to worry about the agents calling you. Okay. So, because the agents know that you have the power, but the player don't know that he have the power. And some of them think they know and say they know, but then they don't act like they know because they don't have a full understanding of the role of the agent and actually the process, you know. So this one guy in this article that my man worked for the New York Times, Bill Roden, this one kid from the St. Louis Cardinals, or the Arizona Cardinals, is quoted as saying that I'm trying to get the best guy, black or white. I'm trying to find who has the best leverage for me. I'm going to go wherever that may be. Who has the most power? Who has the most relationships? That's what they sell. They tell you they have power and relationships and leverage. And I mean, and they, again, whatever power and leverage and relationships they have, it's all as a result of the other players that they might represent. So they're not powerful people in and of themselves. They can't pick up the phone and call the general manager of the Cavaliers, have him on speed dial. But if they represent LeBron James, he'll have them on speed dial, right? If he represents Carmelo Anthony in New York, you know, again, you have a little leverage and power. But at the end of the day, there's got to be a, you know, there's only so many positions and so many teams, and so there's so many players and spots available. So you can have a lot of power, don't make no difference, which is, again, why the focus is on the player and the players who have the potential to be great. And, again, for those folk who listen on the phone, if they get kids who are not among those top-rated players, again, they, I mean, there's so many agents now, but they'll have agents the next level or even the next level below that of agents calling them. Those would be the agents maybe who don't have these marquee clients, agents maybe sometimes who don't have no clients, who just want a break, you know. So, but even if you get one of them guys, if one of those guys rather got a top player, then almost the same thing, if not the same thing, would happen for the player, regardless of what agent that he had. I mean, there's only so many things that happen leading up to the draft. So you got to go train. That's what the agents have convinced them you got to do. You got to go train. So the agent finances that. Many times these guys are making decisions based on who's going to front the most money. He talks about that, Bill Roden, in the article. Who's going to front the most money? But again, what is not talked about, and what our kids don't understand, and what our parents don't understand, is the real power that the kids have. Because again, they're not trying to represent players who they don't think can go to the league, or they're not trying to represent players who are not in the league. And so there's a reason why that is. That's because if you're in the league or you're on the way to the league, then they can tell you these things about power and influence that they don't really have, but things are going to happen anyway because you're in that number, okay? So, for example, you this guy could tell you, you know, he knows all the general managers, and so he could, you know, he'd get you on a team. Well, if you're in the number, that's going to happen. It may not happen, you know, if he gives you a date or a time period, like it's going to happen the next week or so, and it don't happen, it's going to still happen because you're in a number. It may be a different team even that he told you. That's the best evidence that he just made it up. If a different team calls you, but because he never knows really, sometimes, you know. But you can tell him that because somebody, it just the process is going to happen, and kids going to get invited to Chicago to the camp, to the NBA camp. Or he's going to get invited to the combine if you're in that number. So you can tell somebody that you have influence and you can make those kinds of things happen when you already know that guy's going to come there. But now you wouldn't tell that to his teammate. You wouldn't even talk to his teammate because you can't make that happen. So they make up stuff It's great salesmanship, actually, because they sell you. It's almost like martial arts, where they take your power and leverage it against you. So the guy's got all of the power, but the agent's got the player thinking he got all the power, and he flips it and turns it against the guy, and they're making decisions that really don't make a difference in the scheme of things in terms of what's going to happen for them. They're going to go to the league. They're going to get a contract of a certain amount. I mean, in the NBA, the parameters of that contract set forth in the collective bargaining agreement. And so, again, Stevie Wonder could do that. I don't know why you have to have Arn Tellem to get a contract that, again, you're going to get if you get in a certain position. I mean, the draft, the top five guys, top three guys, perhaps they're in one price point, and then it drops to another price point for the next group of guys, and then it drops down for the next group of guys. And it's going to be guaranteed and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the marketing that can be done before after you sign with an agent and before the draft, they know what city you're going to be in. That's limited because we don't even know what city you're going to be in. And so, you get a shoe contract. But, again, you don't have to be a top agent to get a kid a shoe contract, because if the kid is a top player, then the shoe companies are going to call the player and ask the player, who is your agent? Okay. And then the player is going to give him the agent's name, and they're going to call the agent. So, again, if the shoe company didn't know you was even an agent, but you're representing who's the top kid coming out, this guy, Okafor?
Yes.
From Duke? Okay, so if you represent Okafor, you never have to have done a shoe contract in your life. You don't even need to know the people at Nike. You don't even have to know Nike is a shoe company. But if you represent Jahlil Okafor, they go call you. They go call Okafor and ask him, who is his agent? And he's going to say, Mike Scott. And he's going to say, okay, how do I get in touch with Mike? And he's going to get Mike's number. And then he's going to call him. They're going to talk about Jahlil's sneaker contract. And then Mike going to call Jahlil back and tell him what he's able to get for him. But they called Jahlil first. So he's going to get a shoe contract anyway. There might be some little trading card and that little digital media kind of stuff. Again, there's a certain kinds of stuff that happen leading up to the draft, but not a lot, because we don't even know what city you're going to be in. Again, and you could be a top player, but if you don't go to a media center, that changes the whole dynamic as well, beyond the stuff that happens just because you're a top basketball player. That's the shoe contract, the trading cards, the autograph signings and all this other kind of stuff, just the low-hanging fruit, kind of speak. So we really need to dispel this myth. I mean, so if everybody else, as a rule, I think we could agree, has a preference for doing business with people that look like them. It appears like Asians prefer to do business with other Asians. I mean, they do business with other people. Everybody does. But, in terms of their direct team or whatever. So we don't even consider it, because we think these guys have some leverage that they don't even have. So that really makes it even more troubling that we have to, that we don't have to work with more of our own kids, I mean, at least that we get considered. That is, to have a conversation about, because if you knew who some of these guys were, who they were signing with, I mean, their backgrounds. Bill Duffy even admits it in this article that Bill wrote. Bill Duffy said, I just got a BA degree. I ain't go to law school. I don't have no MBA. So, I ain't the smartest guy in the world. He admits that. He says that. Well, if he ain't the smartest guy, if there's somebody smarter, then I would want somebody smarter, if that smarter really translated into something for me. Now, again, Bill is in the system. He can't get a guy in if the guy don't have the talent. But because he got enough guys in the system, he could possibly get somebody a workout. Somebody would take a look. But that's all they're going to do is take a look. They're not going to sign nobody because Bill Duffy called or because Arn Tellem called. Well, because nobody called. They're going to take a look because they think they're experts at determining who can play and who can't play. They pay people to give them that information, right? So, you know, again, it's just amazing that we wouldn't even consider people that look like us when, you know, beyond the fact everybody else uses that as a basis for doing business. So they do more to consider. They pick from the people that look like them and do business with the people that we don't even consider. And then if you look at the results of what's happening, I mean, it's a complex problem, and you could attribute it to all kind of stuff, and people have attributed it to all kind of stuff. But what's reported all over the place is that, you know, anywhere from 60 to 80% of the guys who play in the league, no matter how much money they make, they're going to have some problems down the road because they're going to be done playing at a young age. Well, and so if these guys who they signing with is all that in a bag of chips, then my question is, why on the other side are these guys running into train wrecks, you know, or becoming train wrecks? You know, there's just no excuse when you make millions to not be set for the rest of your life at some level. Huh?
You know that's so true, and I got a question for you that I just got via text message.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard everything you said, and we've had this conversation several times, you and I. This question comes in when dealing with an agent. I'll make sure I reword this to make sure it comes out right. When dealing with an agent, and the agent tells you that you're being looked at by Team X, what is the possibility that there's some reality there?
Well, I think that what he's really saying is how can I confirm
what the agent is telling me? And knowing that the kid is not a top 30 kid in the country, you know, he's not somebody that's been high profile.
This is a college kid.
College kid.
In terms of where teams are looking at a lot of people, so that could be true that they're looking, but looking is a long way between looking and interested. I mean, the process again, which is like running water, it goes downhill. The process is set, and so they look at everybody who's playing. And especially if he's playing Division One, I don't care if he's on a losing team. If he's playing Division One basketball, they're seeing him because they're coming to see somebody else on his team or somebody who's playing on one of his opponent's teams. If he's playing Division One, so he's being seen, whether he thinks he's being seen or not. And they're making, they're passing judgment on his ability based on what they see, you know. It's like they have these catchphrases. Or not catchphrase, but these sayings where you can't prove it's true or ain't true that they say to keep you like on the hook. You know, some teams are interested in you. Well, I would just ask the question: how do you know that? Have you talked to this team?
Okay.
And if you've talked to the team, who have you talked to at the team? Because then, depending on the position, I mean, if it ain't here, the personnel, say, or the general manager, the person might not have the power to make the decision. And so he's more expressing his opinion, like scouts, you know, they after they go and do their job and go around the country and rate everybody and they put their list together and stuff, they have, like, guys who they like more than other guys. And so when they're sitting around the room talking about players, they'll try to talk up a player that they like and that they've seen more than other scouts on, you know, who work for the same team. And so that's all part of the process. But so the question is, how do you know that they're interested in me or they're looking? I mean, did you talk to somebody from the team, and then who did you talk to? Because if it was just a scout, that's what the scout's job is to look at all the players. So he's saying he looked at you, ain't really saying nothing besides he's doing his job. Now, the question would be, Are they interested in me? Have they expressed any interest? Like, would I get invited in maybe to, I mean, because the draft's only 64 players, and so, you know, ain't but a handful of guys going to get drafted, period. So the question is, am I going to get invited in perhaps to one of these teams for like a camp where I can try to make a spot on the summer league team and go from there? Because that's how that NBA process works. They draft two guys, and then they got to fill out a roster for the summer league. And some of those guys on the roster are going to be guys from the team, some rookies who don't get no time, right? So some of them spots going to be taken up. You know, they may have some guys that they already watching who are over in Europe from last year and all this other kind of stuff. So there's going to be some more. So ain't a whole bunch of spots on the summer league team even going to be open. But so the question is, again, how do you know who told you what that guy's position is? And, you know, again, if it's just a scout, that's what he's doing his job. A general manager or somebody higher than that wouldn't probably even be talking to the agent and telling the agent that. So it's generally going to be a scout. And see, this information is proprietary, which means, like, it's valuable. It's got monetary. This information is used to make money, so it's proprietary. The information being how individual teams feel about players. And even though everybody's looking at everybody, all the teams are looking at all the players, they get different opinions about the same guys. Okay, because they get different people looking at them. And they have different playing styles. And so maybe they think guys fit in better with their playing style than other guys. And all this kind of stuff factors into it. But it ain't got nothing to do who the agent is. It's the team taking a look at its personnel, its style of play, who they think can fit in based on what they've seen the guys do. And then they bring them in, you know, to Chicago, and they get a closer look at them. And they're going to make their own decision. So the agent's not really influencing that. You know, again, it's way blown out of proportion. You could hire any competent attorney. The only reason you couldn't hire any competent attorney, actually, is because the union requires that you have somebody who they have certified. Okay. But they only certify people who apply to be certified. And in the NBA, all you have to do is send them a check and pass, you know, a minimum background check, and you'll be certified. Okay, so you have to pick an agent from the ones that's certified. So, there's thousands of lawyers who are way sharper and, you know, however you want to say it, skillful and artful than the guys who are representing players, but they just choose not to register to become certified. So you have, the player is stuck with picking from, you know, in the NBA, they only got a college requirement, okay? But no tests, no exam, no nothing. The NFL, they used to only have a college requirement as well, but a few years back, they moved it up to, you have to have a master's degree now. Okay. Well, but the master's degree could be in fine art. It could be in anything. It don't have to be in nothing relevant to what you're getting ready to do. And what's amazing, and what most parents and players don't even know, in the agent contract that the players sign with the agent, that's actually approved by the Players Association. It's the only contract that they can sign with respect to the negotiation of the player contract. Now, they have a marketing contract or some other kind of contract. That's not the form that the union provides. But the contract negotiating agent contract, the first thing that the union does is disclaim any responsibility for the competence of the agent who they have certified and said you have to pick from among the guys we've certified. Do you hear what I'm saying? You have to pick an agent that they certify, but then they say they're not responsible for the agents that they certify. There's language in the player-agent contract that absolves the league from any responsibility, or the Players Association, from agents they certify, from any responsibility for the honesty or the integrity or the competence of the guy that you're signing with that they say is certified. That in
wow.
and of itself is crazy, but that's how it is right now. And so if I was a player, I mean these guys, they're so scared they don't know. But I would just, again, I'd go get me some, well, Duke, for example, what's the boy, Hill, Grant Hill. Him and a bunch of guys, the boy from San Antonio, Duncan, they got a lawyer at this big firm in D.C. Now, what he did, because, again, all you got to do is have a college degree and pay a fee. He did pay the fee and fill out the application and become an agent, but he didn't hustle clients. He just he got referrals from them kind of guys for guys who wanted to just pay on an hourly basis, which saved them millions and millions of dollars. And so it's amazing that that would be like your choices of a wife. Somebody else picked the pool from which you had to pick a wife. Now, you might be able to pick one from the pool, but you could rest assured that probably ain't going to be the best one in the world for you, right? Or maybe not even the best one in the city or at the school for you if somebody else is picking the pool. But that's what's happening in sports. We have the unions. They're certifying. So now the NFL, again, the NBA has no tests, no nothing. Fill out application. Tell them a little bit about yourself, and they send it to the police. As long as you ain't, you know, committed a felony, you're going to be approved. The NFL, they do make you take a test, but it's an open book test. And the test is about stuff that's in the collective bargaining agreement. So it ain't like you got to look at no book other than the collective bargaining agreement. And some of the questions are, when I took it years ago, one of the questions I'll never forget was, what was the website address?
Huh?
What was the website address? It was a multiple choice question. And so they had NFLPA.com, NFLPA.net, NFLPA.org. Like, which is the, so yeah, that was a question, which is the right website to go if you want to reach the union? Now, if you have ever gone to the union site, then you know which one it is, right? You don't have
wow.
to read in the book. So it ain't like no rocket science questions. Now, the question is a little, you have to have a little bit of analytical skill, a little bit. Now that you have this salary cap, because there's some calculations that you have to do. But again, it's far from rocket science. I mean, one of the concepts that relates to the salary cap is how you treat different classes of money. Okay, like the base salary is one class of money. Signing bonus is another class of money. Like a performance bonus is another class of money. And then they have like roster bonuses. They don't necessarily do that in the NBA. But in the NFL, they have roster bonus, where if you make the team, because you don't get paid till you make the team. So if you make the team, you get a bonus for doing that on top of your base salary. And these different classes of money, they have different rules that apply. For example, the signing bonus, say that might be $10 million, right? You read that in the paper, these guys getting these big signing bonuses. The way they treat that for salary cap purposes is they spread it out over the life of the contract. So if it's a $10 million signing bonus and a five-year contract, then your salary cap number starts out at $2 million, which is one-fifth of the $2 million. Okay, and then if your base salary is $500,000, you add that to the $2 million, which is that portion of the signing bonus attributed to the first year of the contract, because every year you'll have a salary cap number starting out at $2 million, the $2 million that they divide the salary bonus into for the 5 years. And so it would be 2.5 in the first year, and if you had a $750,000 contract second year, it would be 2.750 and so forth and so on. But now, if you had a reporting bonus, sometimes the language of the reporting bonus can be such that they treat it like something other than what you call it. So you could call it a reporting bonus, you could call it a signing bonus, but the way you word it, they could actually treat it like something else, which means rather than spread it out, they might have to put it all in 1 year, which would be disastrous, right? So there's a little skill, but again, it ain't but so many ways you can do that. So if you have a master's degree, you should be able to figure that out. Especially if you got the book open, you know, while you're trying to figure it out. So you could go to how do you calculate roster bonuses and how do you calculate signing bonuses and that sort of stuff. So there's no any other person you hire a broker. Do you handle your money? The broker got to take all kind of tests. He can have a Series 6, Series, and then some of those tests that he take, again, might not even have nothing to do with what you hired him to do. The Series 6 is insurance, and so that's why the broker's trying to sell you insurance, because that's what he got a license to sell. Now, you got to have the stocks and bonds is a different kind of license. But we don't know these things, and so we are hiring people based on, again, this perception that they got the hookup and all this other kind of stuff when they're only coming to the kids who have the hookup, that is, who have demonstrated that they go into the league. And anybody else, they ain't going to give them the time of day. I mean, that's why I've been retired for 3 years now, and I still get phone calls from kids who are not in that number, but they know or they think I got the same influence and juice and all this other kind of stuff because of the guys that I represented. But at the end of the day, I have to tell them, you know, again, if you're not in that number, I mean, you know, you can. All I can do is when I call, they'll take my phone call. You can call for a guy who's not in the number, but while you're on the phone, you can hear them typing in the guy's name. If you listen carefully, they're typing it in to their system, and they want to see what their scouts have to say about the kid. Okay, so if he ain't in the system, that's the end of the conversation. If the scouts have never even seen him and don't have no opinion of him, then that's the end of the conversation. Now, if he's in there and they say he can't play, then that's what they're going with, regardless of whoever calls in there. Now, I mean, you could talk, maybe the guy's improved or he's been working on stuff, but they would have to see proof of that. I mean, so if he's playing in the D-League or in Europe and, you know, you're saying he can go left now, whatever, you got to show him some film, you know. But if he can't do that, you can't show it to him, and if you can't show it to him, then just your calling is not going to make a difference. So it's just, it's unfortunate. And what's even more unfortunate is how when you tell the truth, which is what I'm telling, people doubt the truth because they've heard this other stuff so much. And really, again, it more relates to artists and entertainers where you need somebody who got some juice and leverage, because there, that system, you can't even get an audition unless they call you. I mean, somebody got a, you know, but in sports they have a system where they have a draft, and so you don't have to know nobody. If you can play, you don't have to participate in none of this. Well, you have to participate in some of it, but like the evaluation, you got to go to Chicago and that kind of, but on one level, you don't have to know nobody in the system. You just go, the system is the system. All the scouts are going to be in Chicago. The ones interested in you are going to come up to you. The team's interested in you are going to invite you to come for a workout. That's going to happen, and they don't know who's representing you until they ask you, and you tell them. And whoever you tell them, they're just going to write that name down and that contact information. They're not going to say to themselves, wow, I wonder if this agent is a good agent. You know, or we might not draft the kid because his agent ain't never did this before. That ain't going to have nothing to do with it. They're going to draft the kid because they know that, again, there ain't much but so much negotiation going to be going on, so you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do this. So they have no reason to think that you wouldn't have somebody qualifying. But again, if you want to go just get a guy because the guy got a name, they're not going to tell you you don't need to do that because they don't care. It's just like this preacher, buddy of mine, he's in Lexington, Kentucky. He was here in Long Beach for a while, and he preached this sermon, and he was talking about people in the church and how he didn't care, these different factions among people, the old folk who want things to stay the way they used to be, right? So they want to sing the same hymns, and they want all the tradition. And then you get the group that wants to change the way it used to be. And he was saying he don't really care what direction that the church go in, as long as it's forward. Okay, as long as it's forward. And it's just, I mean, it's the same kind of thing here. It really is. So that guy who asked that question, the only way you know is that you have to ask the question, and that is, how do you know? Who told you? And again, if it's, that's what they're doing now. They're evaluating players because they're looking at you. That's they might not have called him and said anything, but that's he got to say that kind of stuff to the player, because if they don't say that kind of stuff to the player, the player's going to think that the guy ain't, quote, working for him. Because the players think working for me means that I'm calling teams and I'm marketing you and all this other nonsense that they're not doing, because the teams, that's what they do. They evaluate all the players who are eligible. So you don't have to market yourself to somebody who's already looking at everybody. Does that make sense, Mike?
Exactly.
Yeah, they're looking at everybody. So you don't have, and they get film on everybody. And they've been watching everybody from the time, so if you're a freshman, they've been watching you in high school. Okay, and your freshman year. If you're a sophomore, they've been watching you in high school and your freshman year and your sophomore year. If you're a junior, they've been watching you for 3 years. Okay, and if you're a senior, they've been watching you for 4 years. So they got a lot of information on you. And
now,
the film,
I got a quick question. And I heard everything that you said as far as them having a lot of information on you.
Yeah.
Is there any time or in any part of the play do the college coaches come into play as far as, you know, whatever?
Well,
you know,
they're involved, yes. But again, just like the agent, I think we overestimate, because they're going to go to the college coach, but the college coach has coached the kid. But again, they're interested in the kid based on what they've seen the kid do. Okay, so they ain't asking about a kid that they're not interested in. You understand me?
Exactly.
Okay, so they already interested, and so when they're interested, then they're just going to do the homework, and the coach is just one of the boxes they got to check off. Let's talk to the coach. Okay, so unless the coach says something out of ordinary, then, and if he does say something out of ordinary, then they're going to have to ask themselves, why ain't nobody else said nothing like this? Okay, if the coach says he's a jerk, say, right, or the kid ain't a good teammate, then they're going to try to talk to some teammates to find out if the coach is lying. So this whole thing about coaches blackballing players, even all this kind of stuff, I mean, if you don't want the coach saying nothing bad about you, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, the coach can't lie, because they see in the film and they can talk to other people to confirm the truth of anything. So, and the coach can't tell them you can do some stuff that the film don't say you can't do. So the coach can't talk you up into the draft, and he can't talk you out of the draft unless he's talking about some stuff that's true. And if it's true, they already know it. So the coach ain't the source of it. The coach is just confirming maybe something that they have heard from another source. Yeah, so, but again, it's a business, and like any other business, you want to have good relations with your coach, and you want, you know, the coach should say good stuff about you, but he should do that just because, you know, that's part of the evaluation. It ain't just about talent to go to the league. It's about talent and character, and maybe, I mean, it ain't one, it, you know, character ain't going to never outweigh talent in the league despite everything they say, because, well, the NFL, you know, they just went through an off season of all kind of stuff, you know, off the field, violence and domestic violence, everything else. And here comes Jameson Winston, a guy who already got a rap sheet, you know, but he going to be the number one pick. So he coming into the league with a rap sheet. But they don't care because he got enough talent. But if he wasn't Jameson Winston, and there are some other guys who also have rap sheets, and they ain't even going to get a chance because their talent ain't as great as Jameson Winston's is. So they're hypocritical even in that regard. But it's not just talent to get you to the league. I mean, so you got to have some other stuff. So you want people to say good stuff about you, but hopefully they're doing that anyway. You ain't trying to make it up or trying to make them like you. That's just how you've been raised and people you've been exposed to and all that kind of good stuff. But the coach is important. The coach is key. The trainer is equally key because they want to talk to the trainer about, you know, how you handle injuries and pain threshold because, you know, you can't – they got a saying, you can't make the team in the training table, you know. And so they want to – and plus at the college level, you're playing – you know, 30 games maybe, and the pros is 82. So, you know, if an ankle sprain kept you out 2 weeks in college, you know, they saying in the pros that you got to maybe give you 2 days, right? You got to be back out here, right? And so they want to know how tough you are. And those kind of variables, they factor in. But again, I can't tell them you're tough. And then they look at the medical report, and you miss 8 games with a sprained ankle. So I can't lie. And so, again, what you can say, you only can tell the truth about a kid, and they already know. And they just forming opinions about them based on, again, their players, their style of play, you know, what they look for. Some of them value, like San Antonio, seem like they value character more than some other teams.
Yeah.
They value guys who, you know, more willing to, you know, throw down for the group as opposed to have to, I mean, because Tony Parker could average 40 points. You know, and Tim Duncan could, you know, in his prime, could do a lot more, but they, you know, they just, they sacrifice, they understand the prize is the championship, or at least, you know, to be competitive. And to be competitive, you got to play good team ball. You know, one guy ain't going to beat no championship basketball team. Two guys ain't going to be no championship basketball team. You know, you got three, but even if you three ain't going to do it, you got to have some other guys kicking in, you know. So, you know, there's some teams, they have those kinds of requirements, but again, those are requirements they have, and they evaluate everybody against their requirements. And so it's not like you're able to, you know, it's and 90% of this stuff, when they go to Chicago and these other places, 90 to 95% of their decisions are already made because they've had a chance to watch the people play for 1 or 2 or 3 years. And so they've seen how they played against a top competition. They've seen how they played in big games, you know, on the pressure stage. They've seen all kind of different stuff. They've seen how you crushed when you played, you know, some D3 team or D2 team, and you got 30. They say, okay, but you only get 8 the next game against, you know, a D1 team. So they weigh all that kind of stuff, right? They look at the whole body of work. But the kid has painted the body of work. And so if he knew his power, then what he would do is ask the agent, okay, how can you take what I have already done and add value to it? Because that's what people do in the real world. They hire people who they think can add value to what they've already done. So So what is the value that you need somebody to add? Well, if you're trying to market, you want to, you know, get endorsements and all this other kind of stuff, then the guy's got to show you where he's been able to do that. Not tell you he's been able to do it, show you, and for different kind of guys, because we don't know, again, you know, you got to go on a winning team, you got to be in a big city, there's all these variables that kick in, you know. So you could be a hotshot guy on the Milwaukee Bucks, and it's just not going to happen if you did half of that in New York or Los Angeles. And so, all, you know, so these agents ain't doing it. It's just a fact of the circumstances that you're in, you know, what city you're in, what team you're in. Is that team a good team? What kind of history and legacy and brand does the team have? You know, so do people want to be associated with that? I mean, so there's all of this stuff and don't have nothing to do with who you hire as your agent.
So you know, based upon what you just said, so it should be some value added in there. If an agent has come to the table, has some marketing experience, has some experience, you know, dealing with folks in corporate America.
Well, but not experience. Now, what he should do is show you how that experience is going to benefit you specifically. So there should be a plan laid out. Because I could tell you, I mean, so if I represent LeBron James, and I did all the stuff for LeBron, that don't mean I can do none of this stuff for you, because I did it because he's LeBron James. So you need to show me what you can do for me. So this should be, so the value is only in somebody showing you how it can be used to your benefit, not telling you, or you assuming because he got LeBron James, or he got Russell Westbrook, or somebody else that's high profile. You have to look and see, okay, where do I fit on his client list? Okay, and I'm not LeBron, and I'm not Carmelo or Chris Paul. I'm down here. I was a free agent guy or a second rounder that made it, so I'm coming off the bench. So he can't do for me what he's doing for them. So the plan he should put together for me to show me value would be to show me how he's going to take a guy with my characteristics and parlay that into something. And if he can't show you that, then he hasn't shown you any value.
Okay.
And the player just got to ask. I mean, that's how I would ask for it. But again, they don't. That's why we started the authority and the institute to help kids understand as they go through this process. So in a few years now, we hopefully guys will be calling us before they make these decisions, and we can help them understand, because I'm not in the player representation business anymore. We're just trying to help make a difference in the lives of these young men. So we could share with them and their families some of the stuff we're talking about here, because they just don't know. So again, the guy can be telling me all kind of stuff, showing me stuff. I mean, I know the aunt of quite a player that plays for the Spurs, okay? I won't mention his name, but she sent me the package, three packages that the agent sent to them, okay? And in all three packages talk about all of this stuff they do for guys, you know, not every guy, but, you know, selected guys, their top guys mostly. And I'm saying, okay, well, I ain't that guy, okay? So I'm making a decision from these guys, and all they're telling me is what they do for superstars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't no superstar. So if I think they can do this for me, I'm crazy. If I base my decision based on what they do for the superstar, that's not a sound decision. I mean, you just got to find, okay, who do you represent? Okay, now let me see who in there is my situation closest to. But that's not how they market to you. They're going to market to you based on what has happened for their top guys, because what has happened for their top guys mostly has happened because they top guys. And it ain't stuff that the agent has created, but it's because they top guys. So Coca-Cola is going to be calling whoever represent LeBron James. Pepsi-Cola is going to call whoever represent Russell Westbrook. Okay, that's just how McDonald's going to call whoever represents KD. that's just how it happened. Whoever represents them, they just call in KD and want to know who represents you. But to know what they've done for them guys, so again, if I'm, like, take your son as an example, Mike. Okay, I mean, he's with an agent that's a big-time agent, that the agency is. Okay, but and he's a hell of a player, and he's proven he's NBA, you know, for the next 10 years, barring injury. But he's not right now at the level of some of their top clients, but what they sell you on. I mean, I wasn't in the room when they sold you or when they talked to you guys and talked to Mike, but I'm sure the focus was on what they have done for these guys that you know and recognize. And I don't know that you guys had the conversation. Okay, well, who's the second-round picks that you represented? And what kind of program you put together for the second-round pick? You know, and, you know, cause they don't, because they don't even know who's going to make it till they make it. And so that's why they talk about these superstar guys they get, because them the guys that the stuff happens for. Because, again, just like they can't convince a team to do something that the team's not going to do anyway or is not inclined to do, already haven't made a decision to do, then they can't convince these companies to do business with you either if the companies are not inclined. In fact, it's even worse on the marketing side and all that other kind of stuff, because now you're dealing with some really creative people. And these people, they actually get off on, you know, thinking that they have this lock on the creativity. So you can't call them and tell them about using your player. They come up with the idea, and then they actually come up with the player who they think works in the campaign. They come up with that. And then they go find out who represents this player. Whoever it is, that's who they talk to. So it ain't like people, agents are putting together campaigns and then getting you work. It's just they got relationships with these people, and the people are coming up with campaigns, and they might call you about your player. Especially, and so that's why the agents want everybody to know they represent you, so they know to call the agent. Okay, and when they call the agent, then the agent's going to call you. And the agent, and you don't know what has happened. You don't know how this happened. All you know is the agent's calling you about something. And so what is the agent going to do? The agent's going to make it seem like this is as a result of his effort. Not that he just got a phone call.
True.
Because he represents you. He's going to make you think, man, you know, I've been talking to them for 6 weeks. You know, we've been going back and forth. Or what he might do is he might call you before he tell you that he got it, just like the kid or whoever just called a question and say about the agent said they're looking at me. So the agent may call and say, look, I'm talking to these people about the deal, right? But they've already called and said they want to work with your guy, right? So first thing he tells the kid is that I've been talking to these people about something, man. I might be able to pull this off, you know, blah, 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 blah. But they didn't already call. But now he done told the kid this been in the works. And so then maybe the next day or the 2 days later or whatever, he could tell him that it's happening. And now the kid thinks the agent made it happen, and it didn't work like that. It rarely works like that.
Wow.
They're looking for, I mean, most of this stuff, any of the stuff you see where these guys are doing official NBA stuff, like if the like State Farm is or Kia is the official car of the NBA. Okay.
Yes.
So Kia, because they're the official sponsor, they wrote a big check. And part of what that big check give them is the right to pick the player or players that they want to use in their campaign. The same with State Farm. That's why it has gone from Chris Paul to all these other guys. Because some creative guy, Mike, sitting in a back room said, look, what we're going to come up with is the army of assist or whatever and bring these five guys in. That was some idea some creative guy had. And so then once he came up with the players, then he called the boy Curry from Golden State. He called Damon Lillard. They called whoever represents them guys.
Stockton and yeah.
Okay. Yeah, them guys, they didn't call him and give him the idea. Or say include my guy, because they didn't even know they was thinking about it, right? They thought about it. Process, just like the movie. If you watch the M, what is it? There's a show on TV about Mad Men. Watch it. Mad Men. That's the name of it. Mad Men. It's about the advertising agency business and Madison Avenue. Okay, and how they make them decisions, and how again, and they show you right on television. They sitting in the conference room, and they brainstorming on an idea, on a campaign, and then they come. So they get to where they like the idea. Okay, now they got to, who's going to be the talent for the idea, and so they be arguing about play. Well, I think we should use this guy. I think we should use this guy, and then they just they talk it back and forth, and then they settle on a guy. And when they sell them the gas, then they reach out to that gas people. Okay, the gas people don't know what's going on. Now, again, there's an exception every now and then, just like in finance, they have what they call insider trading, right? Now, that's illegal. And insider trading, that's where somebody who got some information on the inside is sharing with somebody on the outside for their benefit. So what might happen in sports is where they start brainstorming and they start calling and they tell you that your guy is being considered, right, while they brainstorming. But again, you can't market your guy to them because they already considering him. So the most you could do is make sure they know who your guy is, right? I mean, so that they know everything he's involved in. So they have if they don't know the community stuff and what kind of, he's a good guy, you want to make sure they know that. But if, and they might not know that because, or they might base it on what they just see on TV and what they hear people say, right? So one of the announcers says, you're a great guy. Every time they talk about you, they say, you're a great guy. So the people at Mad Men sitting in the office, one of them heard this guy. They keep saying, this guy's a great guy, man. I think we should use him. They don't know nothing about you other than what somebody, they heard somebody say. You haven't put nothing together and put it in front of them. So it doesn't work like that. But again, occasionally there is some inside information where you can know you're being under consideration. And again, even then, the most you could do is just, and that's what you should do, although the player don't necessarily know to do it, and that is, what he should be asking an agent, if I'm under consideration, he should be making sure they know everything good about me that would help me be the one they pick. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a little bit of management, but, you know, again, it's way overrated and not enough where you just cannot consider a black guy because he don't have more experience. I mean, the first guy I did, Clark Kellogg. Okay, I had never done a player in my life. And at the time, Clark Kellogg was, you know, he was the eighth player picked, so he was a lottery pick. And, you know, IMG was after him, and ProServe was after him. And George Andrews, who at the time was one of the top guys, he had Magic and Mark Aguirre and them kind of guys. George Andrews was partners with Dr. Tucker, you know. So he had the top three guys in the business after him. And he picked me. I had never done it. Okay. He was still a lottery pick, so it didn't make a difference there. He still got paid, still got a Converse contract. They still made a shoe with his name on it and all this. Everything happened as though I had been doing it forever. Because I was representing the right kind of guy. So, and in fact, because of my legal expertise, when this paperwork that we had to sign, we didn't just sign everything they put in front of us, regardless of what the dollar amount was, because they got all kind of language in there where they could give you the money and take it back. Okay, if you don't know what the language is. I mean, for example, in NFL, they get these bonuses that the players can forfeit. If they do certain things. And so if a guy don't know what's in his contract, he could do something off the court or even on the court that could render some of his money forfeitable. We have to give it back.
Wow.
So you got to know, and these guys don't know. But yeah, so I mean, but because the language of the contract, that's what I'm master at, because I done contracts for, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for, you know, for Fortune 500 or Fortune 100 companies where everybody in the room is sharp. It ain't, you know, some guys who maybe used to play who now the general manager or something. You know, we talking about another level, not NFL or NBA certified. Hey, just we talking about corporate America certified. You know,
okay.
A whole another level. And so the language is key. And I've been, I mean, again, that's the, even the teams people don't necessarily understand some of the objections we had to some of the language, because they just used the language because the lawyers gave them the language. Okay. And they worked for the team. So all they did was negotiate the dollar amount, and they gave the dollar amount to the lawyers, and the lawyers put all the rest of the language in. So the general manager, he don't even know what all the language means. On the team side, he got to ask the lawyer. And so the player agent, who again, all he got to do is have a college degree, he's looking at language that a lawyer wrote. And he may not understand it like a lawyer would. You know, it's highly unlikely. I don't, he could be the brightest guy. But it's just the way lawyers write. Like, they say stuff like, except as provided in section 102.D34A. Except as provided in that section, here's the rules. Well, you got to go look and see what that section said, because that section it impacts everything you read after that. So if you don't know that, if you don't know how to read stuff like that, you say, except as provided in this section, here's the rule, you'll think that's the rule. But there's something in this other section that applies to you, so the rule don't apply to you. And you get bam, you know, just as simple as that.
Gotcha.
So it's, gotcha. So again, but that's not based on an agent who he represents. That's based on what he knows and what his experience is, so. Yeah, I mean, they're overrated, the whole process. We just delegate because it's easier to do, and we let them manage everything, and then we just follow instructions. And that's why there's these crashes at the end of careers, because guys don't really know what's going on, and they haven't chosen to really become active and start learning. I mean, I saw on a guy's site today, as an example, and I'm gonna close with this, because are we over the time or not or what?
Yeah, we've run a little bit over, but go ahead, wrap
that
up.
Well, there was this guy, this agent, he had on his site. Let me see right here. And again, only a lawyer would read what he said the way I'm gonna read it. Hold on just a minute. Now. What's happening? Bear with me just 1 second.
It's
Raymond Brothers Agency. Okay, Raymond Brothers has got an agency. Raymond Brothers is a black guy who represents some guys in the league. He's got about, you know, he's got a dozen or so guys. And he's got like Zach Randolph. He's got Victor Olopindo, you know, so he got a few
okay.
guys. Okay, so, and he got on his site, he says, at the end of a client's athletic career, he or she will be wiser, financially stable, and in position to use their playing careers as a platform for the next season. And in a position... Okay? Now, as a lawyer, the way I read that, in a position, that means you haven't started nothing. Right?
Wow. Okay.
You're in position, like you be in position for a rebound. You haven't got the rebound. You ain't even jumped for the rebound, right?
No, you just so happen to be there on the floor.
Well, no, you're in position.
Yeah.
But because you're in position and you haven't yet jumped or done nothing, you might not get the rebound, right? Because you're just in position. So what I would like to see, and if I'm a player, if we're talking to these players and helping them understand and empowering them so they can get what they're paying for, then I don't want to be in position to use my playing career as a platform at the end of it. I want to have been doing stuff during my career.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Makes sense.
Yeah, I want to be doing stuff. Now, I can't be doing as much stuff as I'm going to be doing when my career is over. That's understood. But you can be doing, you didn't just roll out the bed and go to the NBA, right? You've been playing basketball all your life.
Exactly.
So if you're going to do something in your second stage of your life, you can't start it at the day your second stage starts. Right?
That's true.
Yeah, because you've been playing basketball for 20 years. Okay, and so how are you going to start the second stage of your life and you only get one day of experience? You got to be doing that while you're playing. But that's how he puts it, and it sounds good that you'll be in position, because ain't nobody asked, well, what do that mean to be in position? Why would I just be in position? Why wouldn't I be doing stuff? Why wouldn't I identify what I'm interested in, what I got some competency in? Why wouldn't I be getting exposed to that while I'm playing? Why wouldn't I be involved? I mean, hell, the second guy that I represented, Willie Gault, I mean, Willie, while he was playing for the Chicago Bears, he had his own clothing line. This was in 1985. While he was playing for the Bears. Had his own had a clothing store called Gaults, G-A-U-L-T-S, while he was playing for the Bears. He was doing all kind of stuff. I mean, he had radio show, so because he wanted to be, you know, he was going to be in the media. He's done movies and all kind of stuff since he retired, but he was doing that stuff while he was playing. So he wasn't in position for the next stage of his career. He was already involved in the next stage of his career. So where he was at the end of his career was now he was able to focus on the next stage. Right?
Uh-huh.
Now he could focus because basketball or football is over. But he ain't in position. Now he's just focusing. So that's just an example of what these guys don't know. They say that you can't miss what you ain't never had. And so if you don't know these things, things will still go smoothly in the lives of the guys, you know, because they'll be making more money than they could ever imagine. And when you make that kind of money, it's hard. The only kind of problems they think they have is like, you know, with women, maybe with the IRS, or something like that, but they don't really, I mean, they don't have everyday people kind of problems when you make $500,000 or multiple millions of dollars. You just don't have the same problems. I mean, you got problems with people asking you for money and stuff. You ain't got problems with trying to make the money, right? Or you ain't worried about having no money. You just have to figure out how you can dole it out. That's a problem to have, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's that's what we want to do, and that's the service that we provide through the that's what we want to be able to do. But guys have to want to get involved and understand that they have time for these things, because there's guys who have done it. It ain't like they would be the pioneer in being involved in other stuff while they still play. I mean, and some guys do it. I mean, I see Marshall, the boy Brandon Marshall from the Bears. Now see, and what'll happen is, I know the Bears, and I'm thinking that the Bears traded him because the Bears didn't like the fact that he was involved in all this other stuff. I had the Bears tell me about a kid, Stephon Humphreys, who I represented. Stephon had been a straight-A student from kindergarten through college at Michigan. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated coming out of Michigan. He had straight A's his whole life, and he had been admitted to medical school, okay? But he was a good football player. So he was a third-round pick of the Chicago Bears. And
yeah,
he had been, and he was admitted into medical school, and he deferred his admission for a couple of years, and you know, a couple of years into the league, he could tell this ain't gonna last forever, right? And I don't even want to do this forever. So the third off season, he decided to enroll in medical school, you know, just for this, you know, like one semester. And,
okay,
and the general manager of the Bears asked me, he just asked me, he said, what does Stephon want to do, man? He want to be a doctor, he want to play football? Because in year three, he had decided, now, he still went to whatever mandatory workouts they had and all that kind of stuff, right, during the off season. So it wasn't like he was neglecting it. But he had started on his second career. And the Bears asked me, why is this guy starting medical school? You want to be a doctor, you want to be a football player. So they didn't want to be involved in nothing. And they got some of the same people there. And so I could see, because there ain't no other reason why they would trade Brandon Marshall, because he done turned his life around. He's like a model guy, you know, at least for everything you see on TV. He's articulate,
yeah,
you know, nice looking, married, got a baby, he done settled down. He's into the community. He's got this cause, you know, and he's just doing great stuff. So why do you trade a guy like that? He's under contract. Why do you trade a guy like that? Well, I would think because the Bears are not the kind of team that want the players involved in a lot of stuff. They want to be focused on football. They think somehow it takes away, but it don't take away. I mean, they wanted Willie Gault back in the day. They was mad because he wouldn't come up there and train with them in the offseason. And Willie said, man, look, I'm world class. I know how to train. Now, we have the mile run. I'm the first one every year. So what are you talking about? They just wanted him up there with the guys, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, bonding with him and all this other kind of stuff. And Willie understood that. But Willie say, I got a routine. I like to get up at the break of dawn and get mine in. So I got other stuff to do during the day, right? But these players who all they do is play football, you can do it at 11:30 for them because they just mean they're going to sleep till 10:30. And then come in. But Willie want to get his in. You know, he get up at the break of dawn, 7:30, eating breakfast. He's done with his workout. And now he gets a meeting scheduled. So it's just priorities and that kind of stuff, man. But again, you hear about these teams and how they respond, and so guys shy away. But again, there's only a few teams that feel like that. And again, as long as you're handling your business, and Marshall, now he did handle his business, but he got hurt, right? And so they'll attribute getting hurt to this show that he's doing, like on NFL Network. He appeared on NFL Network once a week on his off day. Yeah, and so then he got hurt. And they're going to say, well, he got hurt because he on this show. Like, he wasn't as prepared or alert during the game because he had a show to tape on Monday, 2 days ago. What kind of shit is that?
He's preparing for his future.
Exactly. So there is a lot of pushback, not just from teams, even from agents. Like, again, telling these guys, you need to – that's why he can put on his site – that you're just going to be positioned to do something when we're finished with you, because mostly what you're going to be doing is playing.
Exactly.
And you should be positioned because you got a lot of money saved up. You don't know how much money you got. You don't know where it is. You don't understand how it works. But you're positioned now. And so what happens to a lot of guys who are in position at the end of their career is they just like the guy who's positioned for the rebound. They don't get the rebound. So these guys who are positioned to move on, many of them fail or don't have as much success is because they ain't prepared. They just positioned. You got to be prepared, right? And positioned.
Sense.
Yeah, you got to be prepared and positioned. So the guy who's positioned for the rebound also is got timing and anticipation. So he's prepared. So when he see the ball go up and hit the rim, he already figuring out where it's coming from. So he's going to get the rebound because he's prepared and positioned. But if all you're doing is positioned, somebody who could come in who is actually more prepared but ain't even positioned, he could just jump over you or cut in front of you or whatever. So that's how life is. And yeah, so they got a bit they're not prepared. I'll leave you with this thought. But the coach of the 49ers, he said it. I never heard anybody say this. The new coach of the 49ers, he was offensive line coach, and they made him the head coach. And they was interviewing him at his press conference, and they was asking him about the importance of or the effect or the impact of the speed of the game on talent. Okay. In other words, a player who might be good in college won't translate to the pros because of the speed of the game. Okay. So that a guy who's a running back, you know, and they got linemen in the NFL that can run as fast as defensive backs in college. Okay. So you ain't going to be able to beat them guys around the corner like you could in college, right? You're going to have another gear. And you've heard it talk about the speed of the game. Even in basketball, it's the speed of the game. Well, yep. The coach said that it's not the speed of the game that concerns him. What concerns him with players is how they deal with the speed of life. Speed of life, because all this, and that's where they need help, and that's where the agents are not helping them, is to get up to speed on life. They can play at the speed of the game on the field, but they can't compete at the speed of life. And so they're getting chewed up and all kind of stuff is happening. And they got all these issues when they're dealing with the life part of it, which then turns around and all of it impacts their money. So you marry the wrong girl for the wrong reason. And when your career's over, she's going to divorce you and take half of whatever it is you have been positioned. Yeah, so you positioned for the next level of your career, the next stage, but she's going to step in front of you with the divorce papers and take half of whatever it is you have left. And so now you positioned, but you can't execute. Because you don't have what you think you're going to have. That's why you got to be more than just positioned, but we're accepting being positioned. Because that means I don't have to do nothing for you. If you play in the NBA for any length of time, you should be positioned for the next step of your life. If I don't do nothing, just because of the money that you make, you should be positioned. Because positioning Yeah, positioning don't mean much. If you go back to the guy who's positioned for the rebound or the guy who's in position to stop James Harden on the breakaway. He's in position, he's down, and he got his hands up, and Harden do what he do, right? And next thing you know, he's at the rim.
Okay, on that note, we're going to position ourselves to we're going to position ourselves to shut down for the evening. It's been a great conversation with you, brother, as always. And as always, you've been very insightful and have shared some bits of wisdom with us, as always. And, folks, if nothing else, I hope you have listened and listened very carefully and learned some of the things that you need to consider when you take on this. Just going out there looking for an agent, or your child is looking for an agent.
Well, right, and the thing is, again, we can help, and we're not trying to represent your son. And we have a new website, so go check out our new website. It's www.esp, as in Paul, Eli, ESPELI.org. We got a redesigned website. It's really nice, and I'm excited about it. And that's the way to contact us if we can be of help to any of the listeners or the kids.
All right, brother. We appreciate you.
Okay, man. Take care. You go take a look at it Mike.
Will do.
Okay, man.
All right. Folks, you've been listening to the Parents for the Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. And as always, we've shared some information with you this evening that hopefully has been helpful. And that definitely something that I think you can take with you as you move forward and your child moves forward in this sporting industry. This has been M.A. Scott. And as always, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. So until our next show, next Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, we got something for you. Keep your head up. And as always, the college experience, making smart cool. My man, Mr. Keith Light, we're out.